On this Friday, let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Eric Snodgrass is here from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Hey, Eric, thanks for being with us today. We've got a lot to cover. Let's start with yesterday's severe weather.
Yeah, so the setup right now is quite fascinating. We have, of course, we're finally in spring. So last time we talked, it was that Friday the 13th. We were still in winter. And what happens is this time of year, of course, we got more daylight hours than darkness hours. And the upper levels of the atmosphere, they're still quite cold. And the surface temperatures, whenever they really crank up and get quite warm, that destabilizes the atmosphere. And that happened last night from basically Kansas City over to St. Louis, a little bit in southern Illinois. And this warm air pushed up from the south. And I'm talking really warm air. Parts of Texas, the whole of the south had like summer-like weather yesterday. Well, with that destabilization of the atmosphere, what ended up happening is we had a string of storms last night that stretched again from Kansas City to St. Louis, dropping hail. And as those storms went kind of racing across that area, they're just the precursor to the bigger setup, which is a big trough that's coming in out of the west over the next 48 hours or so. And as it sweeps in, we're going to get thunderstorm chances tonight, again tomorrow. And there's actually risk in both situations for some of these thunderstorms to be quite strong and severe, especially on Saturday. If you were to just draw a line, let's call it from Peoria over to Macomb up to Davenport, that would be the area over which I think we do have the most substantial risk. And that falls in line with what the Storm Prediction Center is saying in terms of risk of large hail, strong winds from the storms, and also from the ability for these storms to be producing some tornadoes. So this is a multi-day event. And our biggest question about it is, do the storms that move through tonight and the rain that moves through tonight and early tomorrow morning ruin the environment for tomorrow afternoon? What do we mean by ruin is, do they wash it out and bring it back over to a more stable look? And if that happens, then these storms could really fizzle. But I'll tell everybody to watch out for one thing. If late in the afternoon, as the temperature builds, after the round of early morning storms and stuff goes through, tomorrow afternoon, if the sun pops out and we get really hot and humid and gross before we get the main frontal boundary coming through, then we'll have a better chance at seeing some strong to severe storms tomorrow around our neck of the woods, not just in northwestern Illinois. So we got an action-packed start to the weekend, and after the system moves out, we do have a little bit of a change coming, though, which I think a lot of folks will be welcoming, because that change might be a little drier.
Tell me about it.
So we've been noticing a shift in the North Atlantic. Now, the North Atlantic has behaved one way all winter, and that was where we just could not get Greenland to build in a big ridge. Now, if Greenland builds in a big ridge any time of the year, almost any time of the year, we tend to get cooler weather in the eastern half of the United States. Well, we didn't have that all winter, but the pattern's going there soon. And the difference is, when the pattern goes there, we end up getting northwest flow, which in early spring, northwest flow across the Corn Belt is drier. Now, not in summer and early fall. That's when we get lots of thunderstorms. But in early spring, it's a drier pattern. So we could go into next week with a drier pattern. Now, we're going to watch one system that takes off from Texas and goes over toward the northeast. That's going to be around Monday through Wednesday of next week. And it's only going to clip the southern half of Illinois. But a lot of the Corn Belt is going to get a decent chance at having a drier pattern as we look out into next week. But with that northwest flow, it's going to be a little cooler. But the good thing is cool in April is not like cool in March. So we're talking highs still in the 50s and whatnot. So it won't be that bad.
What does April this year look like compared to, say, I don't know, 18 or 2019?
Yeah, well, that's the real question. Because if you remember back to April 2018, state of Illinois had our second coldest April on record. Iowa and Wisconsin had the coldest April on record. That was all because of a deep trough sitting over the Hudson Bay. We're not seeing that set up this year. It's just not looking like one of those cold, super wet Aprils. Now, April 19, it was the opposite. We had a deep trough over the southwest, and we just couldn't shut off the precipitation. I don't see that either. So when I look at the longer range forecast, honestly, April this year doesn't look too anomalous, which means it doesn't look too far away from just being right about average, which I think a lot of people that are listening to me right now are like, thank you, Eric. I've been waiting to hear some decent news in a long time. I don't see us going over to any sort of sustained below average temperatures, and I certainly don't see us cranking up like we did in 2019 with wet weather.
Fine and good, but does that give us enough wind and enough heat to take away the soil moisture content that's already in place?
Yeah, and ultimately that's the problem. We were kind of predestined when it comes to this spring to be dealing with flooding problems, just because you almost can't find a spot. If you go from the Ohio River Valley all the way down to Louisiana, clear back up to North Dakota, that whole area, that includes the entirety of the Corn Belt, has above average soil moisture right now. The good news is unlike a year ago, we don't have nearly the amount of snowpack in parts of the Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin that has to melt to continue our major flood fight. So it'd be nice to get some nice windy and warm days to come through and dry out that topsoil to give us a chance to get some work in. And I'll just say this, there's a much better chance of that happening this year than it has been in the last 2 years.
Anything interesting from your resources, for instance, from NOAA?
Yeah, so NOAA released last Friday its long-range update, and it was an interesting spring outlook because they want to keep the western part of the United States, basically from Washington all the way to Texas on the drier side of things. And then they want to keep North Dakota all the way over to South Carolina wet. It's an interesting setup, an interesting configuration, and hard to find an analog for. I personally think it's a little too wet over the eastern part of the Corn Belt, even though the longer-term trend in that area has been toward wetter springs. I just think it's a little bit too wet. Not being critical of NOAA, they're excellent scientists, but that's my own take on what I'm seeing from them. Again, I'll go back to saying, I think spring of 19, while we will likely have our normal spring severe weather threat, spring 20, let's make sure we're clear there. I think this is going to be a better spring for us in terms of getting a crop in the ground.
Do you have a 10-day outlook for South America?
Yeah, so going back over the last 20 days, before I tell you the next 10, things have been quite dry in southern Brazil. We've already started to hear the problems in parts of Mato Grosso do Sul, also Paraná, and Rio Grande do Sul, specifically Rio Grande do Sul. And it's forced a lot of folks to reduce their estimates on the total size of the soybean crop. Still looks big, but not nearly as big as it was. Now, northern Brazil has been doing just fine. So Mato Grosso, Goiás, Tocantins, you know, that area, Minas Gerais, they're getting plenty of rain right now. So even if they go over a little drier in the next week or two, it's not going to be impactful on the safrinha crop. But it's been southern Brazil that's really taken it on the chin lately. And the upcoming 10-day forecast looks drier for a lot of Brazil. So we need to keep an eye on it because it's pulling back some of their bigger numbers that they reported earlier on this year.
Eric, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.